Two Summers and Two Souls by Kate Chopin. From Vogue Magazine, 7th of August, 1897. 1. He was a fine, honest-looking fellow, young, impetuous, candid, and he was bidding her goodbye. It was in the country where she lived, and where her soul and senses were slowly unfolding, like the languid petals of some white and fragrant blossom. 5 weeks. Only 5 weeks he had known her. They seemed to him a flash, an eternity, a rapturous breath, an existence, a recreation of light and life, and soul and senses. He tried to tell her something of this when the hour of parting came, but he could only say that he loved her. Nothing else he wanted to say seemed to mean so much as this. She was glad, and doubtful, and afraid, and kept reiterating, "Only 5 weeks, so short, and love and life are so long." "Then you don't love me?" "I don't know. I want to be with you, near you." "Then you do love me?" "I don't know. I thought love meant something different, powerful, overwhelming. No, I'm afraid to say." He talked like a madman then, and troubled and bewildered her with his incoherence. He begged for love as a mendicant might beg for alms, without reserve and without shame, and the passion within him gave an unnatural ring to his voice, and a new strange look to his eyes that chilled her unawakened senses and sent her shivering within herself. "No, no, no," was all she could say to him. He willed not to believe it. He had felt so sure of her, and she was not one to play fast and loose with those honest eyes whose depth had convinced while they ensnared him. "Don't send me away like this," he pleaded, "without a crumb of hope to feed on, and keep me living." She dismissed him with a promise that it might not be final. "Who knows? I will think. But leave me alone. Don't trouble me, and I will see. Goodbye." He did not once look back after her, but walked straight on with a step that was quick and firm from habit. But he was almost blind and senseless from pain. She stayed watching him cross the lawn and the long stretch of meadow beyond. She watched him till the deepening shadows of the coming night crept between them. She stayed troubled, uncertain, tearful because she did not know. 2. "I remember quite well the words I told you a year ago when we parted," she wrote to him. "I told you I did not know. I wanted to think. I even wanted to pray. But I believe I did not tell you that. But now, will you believe me when I say that I have not been able to think, hardly to pray? I have only been able to feel. When you went away that day, you seemed to leave me in an empty world. I kept saying to myself, 'Tomorrow or next day it will be different. It will be with me as it was before he came.' Then your letters coming, 3 of them, one upon the other, gave voice to the empty places. You were everything after that, and still I doubted. And I was cautious, for it seemed to me that the love which is to hold two beings together through life must be love indeed. But what is the use of saying more than that I love you? I would not care to live without you. I think I could not. Come back to me." 3. When this letter reached him, he was in preparation for a journey with a party of friends. It came with a batch of business letters, and in the midst of the city's rush and din, which he had meant in another day to leave behind him. He was all unprepared for its coming, and unable at once to master the shock of it that bewildered and unnerved him. Then came back to him the recollection of pain, a remembrance always faint and unreal, and there was complete inability to revive the conditions that had engendered it. How he had loved her, and how he had suffered, especially during those first days, and even months, when he slept and waked dreaming of her, when his letters remained unanswered, and when existence was but a name for bitter endurance. How long had it lasted? Could he tell? The end began when he could wake in the morning without the oppression, and free from the haunting pain. The end was that day, that hour, or that second, when he thought of her without emotion and without regret, as he thought of her now, with unstirred pulses. There was even with him now the touch of something keener than indifference, something engendered by revolt. It was as if one loved and dead and forgotten had returned to life, with the strange illusion that the rush of existence had halted while she lay in her grave, and with the still more singular delusion that love is eternal. He did not hesitate as though confronted by a problem. He did not think of leaving the letter unnoticed. He did not think of telling her the truth. If he thought of these expedients, it was only to dismiss them. He simply went to her, as he would have gone unflinchingly to meet the business obligation that he knew would leave him bankrupt. End of Two Summers and Two Souls by Kate Chopin. Read by Alan Davis Drake in Cloud Mountain Studios.